Good morning. Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. I have a hard time seeing everyone because of these giants that are sitting so close to the front. I didn't recognize all of them, but I know you'll all want to say hey to the Blantons as they have come back home. That leads me to a couple of announcements. We're going to need some help moving furniture after the worship service to get ready for the pageant tonight. So you guys know who you are. Tonight at 5 p.m., the children will present their pageant telling the story of the Savior's birth, and the performers will gather at 3 p.m. to rehearse. So those who are going to be in the pageant, please come at 3. And then at 6, we will have our cantata. The adult choir will put on a cantata at the Port Gibson Baptist Church, joined by the community youth choir, who will do a few songs as well. So please plan to attend both functions this evening, 5 and then at 6. Do want to remind everyone also that the handbell choir, the community handbell choir, will be performing at the Port Gibson United Methodist Church Tuesday at noon. So please plan to attend that as well. Also on Tuesday, the Harrisons will be hosting the Port Gibson Heritage Trust annual meeting at Colina. So we're looking forward to that on Tuesday at 6 p.m. So a lot going on today and a lot going on Tuesday. Now on next weekend, of course, Saturday is Christmas Eve, and you see in your bulletin the evening worship services on Christmas Eve. Also been told that there is one at the Roman Catholic Church at 10 p.m. So there's three on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas morning we'll be here for worship at 10 a.m. So come a little early for worship. And we'll have some Christmas carols. And we hope the poinsettias will, we're planning for the poinsettias to be here next week as well. So if you bought a poinsettia, please let us have it for one more week if you can. So they'll be beautiful for next week as well. Do have one sad announcement. Did not make the bulletin. Just learned this morning that Miss Linnell Hudson has passed away. She died yesterday night. And so that would be December 17. Arrangements are, of course, incomplete. I will be emailing the congregation to let you all know. But please be in prayer for the family as they are grieving the loss of Miss Linnell this day. Let's now be called to worship. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Let's stand to sing His praise. Let us pray. O Lord, in this season of the year when our thoughts are supposed to be turned to You, it is so easy for us to be consumed with our own problems or even with the plans and preparations we make to celebrate the coming of Christ. So help us in this hour to calm and quiet our hearts, to focus our minds on You, to remember that You have come not only to serve, to save us, but to serve, to suffer with us and for us. Hear our prayers, for we offer them in the name of the One who loved us enough to die for us, even as we offer the prayer that He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And our responsive reading today comes from your pew Bible. So if you'll take up your pew Bible and turn to Luke's Gospel, the first chapter. This is the story of how Mary received the news that she would give birth to Jesus. Now, we begin with verse 26 and end with verse 38. That means we begin and end with even-numbered verses. So I will read the even-numbered verses and ask the congregation to respond with the odd-numbered verses, beginning with verse 26 and reading through verse 38. So that means I get to start and finish. So let's read this portion of God's Word responsively as we meditate on the wonder of the Incarnation, along with the young girl who heard about it for the first time. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth,
to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary.
And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
And when she saw him, she was troubled and cast her mind on what manner of salutation this should be.
And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren.
For with God nothing shall be impossible.
And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Of course, the angels gathered again when Jesus was born, and we celebrate that as we turn in our hymnals now to 113. We sing, Angels We Have Heard on High. Let's sing all four stanzas, and let us stand to sing.
Thank you.
We have sung our Lord's praise. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
You may be seated. Our minute for mission today comes from Rebecca. You may remember Rebecca and Noor are living and working in the Middle East as part of our Engage 2025 project. And we have some news from her from this last week. It is a prayer request, so I hope we'll all take this to heart. Rebecca writes, "Hi, guys. I haven't jumped on here in a while, and honestly, the last couple of months have just overwhelmed me. Julia," that's her little daughter, "Julia has been chronically sick, asthma, hives, and bronchitis for more than 2 months. She's gone through 3 rounds of antibiotics, a 4-day stint in the hospital, and daily inhalers, and she is still sick. I'm a little disappointed with Western medicine at this point. Anyway, taking care of a sick child has dominated all my other roles here on the field, so I feel a bit guilty that language study and ministry have taken a back burner some weeks. I've been at a low point emotionally and mentally, just feeling drained by Julia's level of need. We made the big decision to take her out of daycare at the end of this week," that would have been this past Friday, "since that is where we feel she is picking up most of the junk, and her body really needs to rest and recover. So we are praying to find someone to come to our home to watch her a few hours a day so I can get a break to get away and attend Arabic class and study. Please pray with us," and these are our prayer assignments, "that the Lord would lead and provide the right person to watch Julia at home, that he would eliminate the inflammation in her airways and lungs, that he would eradicate all lingering bacteria or viruses in her body, that he would strengthen her immune system to defend against common germs, that he would give energy and stamina to Noor and Rebecca, and she would give everybody some good sleep." And she says, "Thank you. We love that we can come here and ask for this support from you when we are tired and weary. We hope you all have a blessed Christmas season, Rebecca." So I know we'll all be in prayer for Rebecca and Noor and Julia as we remember Christmas season, the fact that mothers and little babies have problems that are the same no matter whether it was Mary with baby Jesus or Rebecca with baby Julia. So let us meditate on the wonder that our Lord would come and in the form of a little child. As we take up our hymnals, we'll turn to selection 107. Selection 107, We'll sing all three stanzas, and let us stand to sing. Amen. You may be seated. As we go to the Lord in prayer, let us remember that God has come to be with us in the person of this little baby laid in a manger. That means that God understands human suffering and need. God knows all the problems that we have in our lives, not just academically, but personally. And so we could take those problems, those cares, to the Lord, knowing that He understands, for He has come to be with us. Let us pray. God with us. Lord, we don't claim to understand the wonder of the incarnation any more than Mary must have understood when she first heard about it. We don't understand how God can become man. We certainly don't understand why you would choose to be born into a poor family and spend your first night on earth in a feed box. Lord Jesus, we don't understand why you would suffer with us as well as suffer for us, but we thank you that you did. We thank you that you understand. We thank you that when you hear our prayers, you know what we are going through. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence because of your perfect sacrifice that you offered for us. And so we pray. We pray with the confidence of those who have been redeemed. We pray with the confidence of those who know they will be heard and understood. We pray, O Lord, for this in this season for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. Today we pray especially for the Hudson family, but Lord, for all of those who are missing loved ones during this time, we pray. As we hear the prayer concerns of our sister Rebecca, Lord, we pray for all mothers with young children, for the sniffles and the sicknesses and the problems that go along with all of that. And we pray for the children, too, as they have to suffer through sicknesses so often at this time of year. And Lord, we pray for those who are far away from their loved ones during this holiday season. That's always hard. We pray for our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, and our Marines overseas and their loved ones at home. But Lord, for all those who have to be traveling because of business or just separated from loved ones, we pray that you would bless them and comfort them. Lord, we pray for those who are wrestling with chronic illness and for those who are caregivers for the sick. We ask for courage, for strength, for patience, and help us all to trust in you as we wait upon your good and perfect will for us. And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes and ears as we open your word. Help us to see and hear your truth. But we pray that our study of your word would not be merely an academic exercise, but that we would be changed as we encounter the word of God. For we offer our prayer in the name of your living word, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God has given us His best. God has come to be with us. Let us worship the Lord as we give unto Him His tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Giver of all good gifts, you have given us your Son, you have given us yourself. We can never repay you for such gifts, but what we can give, we would offer with love and gratitude.
Use, O Lord, what we give, both of our substance and ourselves, for your glory, for the expansion of your kingdom, for the spread of the gospel. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the prophecy of Isaiah. We turn to chapter 7. And as is so often the case, before we can hear the good news, first we have to hear the bad news. That was certainly the case for Ahaz, the king of Judah, as we will see in this passage. Chapter 7, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 16. This is the word of the Lord. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his, Ahaz, heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I test the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Now that's God's word to Ahaz and to us. Have you ever been in a situation where there seemed to be no way out? That's the way King Ahaz must have felt. To his north was the kingdom of Israel, also called Ephraim. To the north and east of that was the kingdom of Syria. Well, Pekah, the king of Israel, and Rezin, the king of Syria, decided to form an alliance to defeat Assyria, the most powerful nation in the known world at the time. But here's the catch. Israel and Syria wanted all the little nearby kingdoms to join in their alliance. So, in the diplomatic fashion of the day, they came calling on Ahaz of Judah by invading his territory and besieging his capital city. You see, they would either lift the siege after they had drawn Judah into their alliance, and perhaps after they had installed this son of Tabeel as a puppet king upon the throne of Judah, or they would just destroy the place. Okay, but even if Ahaz managed to appease these two invading kings of Israel and Syria, even if he managed to keep his throne and
to keep his head, he would then have been heading into a conflict with Assyria, a much greater threat. He would have been jumping out of the frying pan only to land in the fire. Now, none of us are caught in such geopolitical problems, but don't we also have some fearsome foes? Debt, grief, unemployment, chronic illness, long-term disability, difficulties with parents, difficulties with children, difficulties with spouses, maybe all three at the same time. And sometimes the only way to work on one of these problems is to dig the others deeper. You might work long hours to improve your financial position, only to find your family situation deteriorating. You might need advanced medical treatment to improve your health, but there just doesn't seem to be any way to pay for it. There's no way out. It's impossible. What can you do? It was while Ahaz was contemplating such cheery choices, and while he was inspecting the waterworks that his capital city would need after it was besieged, that's when Isaiah came to see him. And Isaiah brought a word of hope. But this was not the Pollyanna sort of hope that denies the reality of our problems, no. In verses 5 and 6, Isaiah acknowledges the serious situation in which Ahaz finds himself. Isaiah knows that the kingdoms of Israel and Syria have made this alliance. He knows they plan to set up this son of Tabeel on Ahaz's throne. But it is precisely in the face of this very real trouble that the Lord tells Ahaz, "Be quiet, be calm." It is precisely at the time that Ahaz's enemies are surrounding him that God says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be faint-hearted." And those words come to us too, and for the same reason. Look at verse 7. God acknowledges the plans of Ahaz's enemies, but then he flatly says, "It shall not stand. It shall not come to pass." The reason Ahaz should not fear is because God Almighty has made a promise to him, a promise that his enemies would be thwarted. And that promise is in turn based on another promise, an older promise, a deeper promise. And in order to understand that promise, we first need to take a look at the curious way in which God refers to Ahaz's enemies. He calls Pekah, the king of Israel, the son of Remaliah. That's what he always calls him, son of Remaliah. And in the same way, God refers to this nameless guy who Pekah and Rezin plan to make king of Jerusalem. God calls him the son of Tabeel. Who's Remaliah? Who's Tabeel? Well, that's really the point. They were a couple of nobodies. Pekah, you see, was the first of his family to be king of Israel. He had been an officer in the army and had taken power in a military coup. His father, Remaliah, hadn't had any power at all. And as far as the son of Tabeel goes, well, we don't have a clue who he or his dad was. And it is in contrast to these two nobodies that we see Ahaz's proud genealogy in verse 1. He was the son of Jotham, who had reigned over Judah for 16 years. He was the grandson of Uzziah, who had reigned for 52 years before that. Ahaz was not a flash in the pan. He was not a dictator with no dynasty. He was not a historical hiccup like Remaliah and Tabeel, whoever they were. No, Ahaz was from a long line of somebodies. And we are reminded of the reason for that great historical continuity in verses 2 and 3. For Ahaz belonged to the house, to the dynasty of David, the king, the one to whose family God had promised perpetual power. God had told David, "Your house, your kingdom shall be established forever. Your throne shall be established forever." God promised that the plans of Ahaz's enemies would not succeed because God had already promised David that his throne would endure. And so God is calling Ahaz not to be afraid, not to be faint-hearted, but instead to trust in the promises of the Lord, promises to him personally and promises throughout the ages. Well, what about us? Hasn't God made promises to us too? And hasn't God made promises that come to us through the mouths of the same prophets? And in fact, one of those prophecies is the sign that Isaiah gave to Ahaz in verse 14, the focus of our celebration this Christmas season. Behold, the impossible will happen. Behold, into your impossible circumstances, God will do the impossible. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that is why we should have no fear, even in the face of our worst problems. That is why we should not be faint-hearted, even when it looks for all the world like there's no way out. God has come to be with us in the person of Jesus Christ. God has kept His promise. The mighty Son of David has come to rule, to reign over the earth, to conquer all our enemies, to cast down even the power of sin and death. As we sang just a few moments ago, He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. What reason have we for despair? What room have we for fear? He is the King of glory. God with us. Oh, but how was the birth of Jesus a sign to Ahaz? For the events of today's passage happened more than 700 years before Jesus was ever born. Ahaz never heard the angels sing. Ahaz didn't see the wise men and the shepherds. He didn't see what they saw. How could he have drawn strength or encouragement from the fact of the incarnation 700 years in the future? Well, unfortunately, that's precisely the point. For remember, Ahaz did not want a sign from God. Oh, he had tremendous problems, but he was not willing to trust God to solve his problems. You know, we find out if we read in 2 Kings that Ahaz was making his own plans, thank you very much. He would throw in his lot with the Assyrians. He would give them tribute money. He would bribe them to come get Israel and Syria off his back. He was engaged in what we now call triangulation, pitting one enemy against another. But unfortunately, his plans would go awry. His new Assyrian friends would lead him in all sorts of bad directions. For when he went to visit his new ally, he saw an altar in Damascus that he really liked. And since he was, after all, solving his own problems his own way with his own wits, Ahaz made a copy of that pagan altar, and he installed it in the temple of the Lord God in Jerusalem. Ahaz didn't need a sign from God. Ahaz was going to worship God in his own way, the way he wanted to. And then, of course, he began to mimic many of the pagan religious practices. Some of the practices of the Canaanites, the people who had lived in the land before God led his people there. Ahaz went so far as to burn his own children as sacrifices to these pagan gods. Yes, he was willing to look anywhere and everywhere except to the Lord to solve his problems. Now, I doubt any of us would do anything so terrible. None of us would ever make sacrifices to foreign gods. But when we are in those impossible situations, do we ever find ourselves looking to our own ingenuity? Instead of relying upon the God for whom nothing is impossible, do we give in to despair or discouragement? Instead of trusting in Emmanuel, God with us, instead of trusting Christ the Lord to rule over our problems, to rule over our enemies, do we ever prefer instead the advice of our friends? Do we find ourselves rationalizing away God's word in order to do what makes sense to us? Are we missing the sign? Well, what did Ahaz's disobedience mean to him? Well, it didn't undo any of God's promises. God still solved Ahaz's immediate problem. God still kept Syria and Ephraim from conquering Judah, just as God said God would. And by the hand of the Assyrians, God would render the land of Ahaz's enemies, the land of Ephraim and Syria, desolate and forsaken. That is why the people there would have to eat butter or curds and honey. That was the food of nomads and foragers. In spite of his lack of faith in God, even if he did think he himself should have gotten the credit for his deliverance, God was going to deliver him anyway. And Ahaz's disobedience did not keep Jesus from eventually being born of a virgin, just like God promised would happen. Ahaz's disobedience did not keep God from keeping God's promises that he had made to David so many years before, that Jesus, the son of David, would sit on David's throne. And none of our disobedience will prevent God from keeping God's promises to us either. But Ahaz's disobedience did mean that he wouldn't share in the blessings. Just as Isaiah told him in verse 9, since he would not believe, since he would not trust God, he would not be established. His kingdom would not endure. And God would bring down on Ahaz's kingdom the wrath of Assyria. In the days of his son Hezekiah, the Assyrians would invade Judah. They would lay siege to Jerusalem. And all of Ahaz's diplomatic machinations, all of his attempts to curry favor with these pagans, would go up in smoke. And eventually, because of Ahaz's disobedience and his descendants' disobedience, the royal house of David would go into exile. David's line would be plunged into such obscurity that when the child would be born to the virgin 700 years later, the heir to the throne of David would not be born in the palace in Jerusalem. He would be born in a stable in Bethlehem. He would grow up not as a prince, but as a carpenter. But Isaiah predicted that too. For he points to that mystery in verse 15. For you see, it isn't just those who are forsaken of the Lord who will be forced to eat the food of foragers. The miraculous child born of a virgin would eat the curds and the honey along with everyone else. And that may be the most amazing truth of all. For in Jesus Christ, God did not just come to solve our problems and our difficulties at arm's length. He came to be with us. With us in the midst of our suffering. With us in the midst even of suffering that our disobedience has brought on ourselves, or the suffering that our disobedience has brought on others. That is the miracle of grace that we celebrate this time of year. So, of course, we should not fear. Even in the midst of our impossible problems, for God, the mighty Son of David, the Lord of all the hosts of heaven, God is with us. Of course, we should not be faint-hearted, even because of our disobedience. For God has come to suffer with us. God has come to suffer for us. God has come born into poverty. God has come to hold His royal scepter with nail-pierced hands. So let us not deny the sign. Let us not continue in our disobedience. Instead, let us trust the promise of Christ, that no matter how things look to us today, God is with us. Let us trust Him, no matter what happens, so that we might be established, so that we might stand on firm ground in the midst of the storm. Let us pray. Lord, thank You that You sent Your Son to be with us in a way that we could understand Him. No, we don't understand the incarnation. No, we don't understand how God and man can be all mixed up in one. No, we don't get that, but we do get that He was one of us, that He is one of us, that He understands, and that at the same time He holds this tremendous power. Oh Lord, let us believe the sign. Let us trust in You. Let us put aside any attempt to solve our own problems and instead rely on You, Your power, Your wisdom, Your love, all of which can accomplish the impossible. We thank You for Jesus, and we offer this prayer in His name and for His sake. Amen. God has come to be with us. Let's celebrate that good news as we turn in our hymnals to selection 104. Selection 104, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." We'll sing all four stanzas and let us stand to sing.
Thank you.
May we hear the angels sing and remember that God, for God, nothing is impossible. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.